We're now on the eighth day of Christmas, and we finished looking at Micah and the vine and fig tree prophecy, so we're going to make a kind of a shift in our 12 days of Christmas curriculum. Today we're going to start looking at the Christmas verses in the morning, and then we'll have a new feature in the afternoon, which I'll talk about when we get there to the second audio for today. Today we continue looking this morning at the Christmas narrative in the Gospels, and we're coming to Luke and the account of the shepherds being told about the Christmas and the coming of Christ. So let's pick up in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And we can pause there and say, some translations say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We'll put some notes there on that translation difference. But the key point to note here is on earth, peace. Peace on earth. And the big question that we've looked at in the past few days is the question of eschatology. I'd like to suggest that maybe the issue isn't eschatology. But anyway, the question we've looked at as far as eschatology goes, or theories of prophetic end time events and last things and so forth, it seems to me that you, of the three positions, amillennial, premillennial, and postmillennial, this verse rules out amillennialism. Amillennialism states that there is no real earthly millennium. There's not an earthly millennium like the premills envisage, because there's not a time when Christ returns to the earth and sets up a millennial kingdom reigning from a literal physical throne in Jerusalem. But they also, amillennialists, deny the postmillennial idea of a millennium. They, in essence, simply deny that there is on earth, in history, as opposed to in eternity, whether in heaven or on earth, a time of peace, such as is described by the prophets. But this verse says that the message of Christmas, one way or the other, is peace on earth, and not peace in heaven, or sure, peace in heaven, of course, and not just peace in your heart, sure, peace in your heart, but peace on earth. And this is clearly talking about a social peace, a civic peace, a military peace, a cultural peace, however you want to define it. It's an earthly and historic peace. And so that rules out amillennialism, which tends to say no such thing as a reign of peace, no such thing as a messianic age, an age of peace, an age of prosperity, and so forth. So the question is, when does the age begin? Or the question might be, how does the age unfold? How does it begin? How does it take place? How does it happen? And that's the difference between the pre-mill and the post-mill. The pre-millennialist says that before the millennium, Christ must come back and rule physically on a throne in Jerusalem. The post-millennialist says Christ comes back after a millennium of reigning from the right hand of God the Father in heaven and bringing an earthly peace. If you don't like eschatology and you don't want to argue about all these theories, pre-mill, post-mill, and amill, then I think the question to look at is simply the question of God's law. The gospel, according to Galatians 3:8, is the good news. And that's the term the angels used. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's the meaning of the word gospel, a good message, a message of glad tidings and great joy. And according to Galatians 3:8, that good news, that message is not that you get to go to heaven if you believe that you get to go to heaven, which in some ways is what most people define the gospel as. The gospel is you go to heaven, not based on your works, but whether you believe that you go to heaven. But the good news, according to Galatians 3:8, is the promise made to Abraham that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And you have to ask yourself, well, how does that happen? How does blessing happen on earth? Does God randomly or meaninglessly just arbitrarily bring blessing and bring peace? Blessing happens when we obey God's commandments. And that's a basic teaching of certainly the Old Testament. I don't think it's any less a teaching of the New Testament. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes, "Honor your father and mother." And he says, "This is the first commandment with a promise." Then continuing the quote, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Now, you can either take that as a promise that if you obey God's law, you will have an increased lifespan and enjoy longevity. Or you can say you will live long in the land because God will not send the sword through your land and kill off your children. But either way, the blessing here is peace and long life, and it's an affirmation of the concept that we are obligated to obey the commandments and we can expect God's blessing. If you look at chapters like Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, it very clearly says that if you obey, you will be blessed in tangible, physical, cultural, economic ways. On the other hand, if you don't obey God's commandments, you will be cursed. You will experience tangible, physical, material, economic, military, civic, cultural cursings, bad things, things you don't want. And these things happen in history. They're not just simply limited to eternity. Well, let's look at some of those promises because they're very interesting. It's one of the features of God's law is that if you obey his commandments, you will have peace. And this is, if you'll recall here, we're also going to be tying what Zechariah prophesied. He definitely prophesied on day 5 that we would be saved from our enemies. That was the meaning of Christmas for Zechariah, at least one of the meanings, a lot of meanings for Zechariah, but one of them was he would save you from your enemies. In particular, it's interesting in Deuteronomy 28 that the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. That's one of the promises of blessing if you obey. And it's very clearly said, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you. This is the chapter of blessings and cursings. Then in Leviticus chapter 26, the same thing is said. Verse 6, I will give peace in the land if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them. You will lie down and none will make you afraid. That sounds just like Micah in chapter 4. I will rid the land of evil beasts and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. So peace, I will give peace in the land. That is one of the blessings of obedience to God's commands. And we see this not just in the statement of the law itself, but also in Israel's history. So for example, Numbers 10:9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you will sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you and you shall tread down their high places. The book of Judges is a continued exhibition of this principle that when Israel was repentant and prayed to God and turned to God, and that meant start obeying God's law, then God raised up judges, which according to Judges 2, verses 16 and 18, the judges delivered Israel out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them or saved them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And elsewhere. So when the gospel is the good news, according to Galatians 8, that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that means that there is a resurgence, an increase of obedience to God's commandments, which brings the blessings that are promised in the covenant. The new covenant is that we will have this law written on our hearts. God will be our God. We will be his people. We will walk in his ways, according to Ezekiel. So that is the gospel. That's the good news, that we will be blessed because God grants us the grace of obedience to his commandments. And one of the blessings is peace. This was the promise Micah made, that all the nations will want to walk in his paths, and the law will go forth from Jerusalem, and we will dwell under our vine and fig tree, safely, securely. So forget all your eschatological theories and categories and prophecy charts. It's a basic fundamental feature of the covenant that obedience brings peace. And clearly, the converse of this is that God will send the sword. God sends the sword on a people who do not obey his covenant, do not obey his law. The sword, of course, means war, an army. God sends an army. So that is the meaning of Christmas, that there will be a revival of theonomic obedience, obedience to God's commandments, which brings the resulting physical blessing of peace on earth. Then to continue the passage here, just to finish out the theme of the narrative from Luke, starting in verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So there's our Christmas narrative for the eighth day of Christmas, and the concept of don't worry about eschatology, just believe the promises of the covenant, that obedience brings blessing, and one of the blessings is peace, and that Christ came not to destroy the law, but to put it into force such that if we obey it and teach it, we are the greatest in his kingdom, and that will bring peace. So, that's our Christmas narrative. Tonight we'll begin a 5-day feature of 5 things you need to know, and we'll talk about that in our evening audio. So, we'll see you then.